ذاك العظيم في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله. ذاك العظيم في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله. من أنزل الأمطار وفجر الأنهار وأنبت الأزهار تزخرف الجبال، من أنزل الأمطار وفجر الأنهار وأنبت الأزهار تزخرف الجبال. ذاك العظيم في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله. ذاك العظيم في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، this is our third lecture talking about the immortal enemy of ours, Iblis, the father of all Satans. He is old and we are new. He is free and we are busy. He sees us, we don't see him. He doesn't forget us, we forget him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us everything we need to know about Iblis and about Shaitan. He told us who he is, what was his disobedience, the story of his animosity with Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, how it started, what was the cause of it. And he told us his paths, how he deviates us, how he enters to our heart and make us do the sins. And at the same time, he told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we can defend ourselves from the shaitan. This and much more, inshallah, we will be discussing this series, talking about Iblis, or talking about the shaitan, our enemy. We have spoken about some of those. We know who is the shaitan. We know Iblis. We know that anything that makes you do evil and calls to evil and likes evil is shaitan, even if he's a human being. We know shaitan was created from fire, and Adam alayhi salam was created from clay. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to bow for Adam, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, out of respect. And Iblis was included in that command because he was of a higher level of righteousness. He was not an angel, but he was commanded also, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, he asked Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What made you not fulfill the command when I told you bow, when I commanded you to bow? So he was commanded. He rejected based on his arrogance, based on his creations. He concluded with his own mind that fire, the fire is more superior to the clay. Therefore, if someone has to bow for the other, it's the other way around. Adam has to bow for him. Because of this arrogance, he rejected to bow. So he refused the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not because he doesn't want to bow to anyone except Allah. When Allah commands you to do something, you do it, because he is the one who has the authority to do so. So, we have said, last thing we spoke about, we said that this earth, this life on this earth is a test for every one of us. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To be tested, who is the one to do most righteous deeds, so he will qualify for the Jannah, and the one who is not to do so will be qualified for the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this earth for us to live in it, to be tested, so we can get the results the day of judgment. Iblis, when he refused to bow to Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled him from his mercy and destined him for the hellfire. He never regretted it. He never apologized. He never repented. Rather, he went the other way. His arrogance took him a higher step in rebellious. He said, O Allah, give me respite until the day of judgment. Don't cause me to die. So we believe that Iblis doesn't die himself, being the father of Satan, he doesn't die. But Shayateen, his offsprings, they do die. Okay, that's why sometimes we say our mortal enemy, sometimes we say our immortal enemy, depending whom you're referring to. We are referring to the essence, to the father of Satan's, which is Iblis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that request, not because he is of a high place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, okay, you requested that, you can have it. Not because of anything except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to fulfill the purpose of his creation. He created Adam alayhi salam to be on earth, and he meant that there will be certain things to incite us and to make us deviate and not respond to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a test for us to see how pure our love to Allah is subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to create us here and we're not really in love with this world, ourself is not really desiring much, Satan is not there, enemies are not trying to make you do anything, so you'll be a good person. Who's going to stop you from being good? You will do good. But that would be no test. If you want to have a friend, when do you know that friend? Is when you upset him. That's when you know your friend. Some people have friends for years, could be 10, 15, 20, and they think that this person is their brother, real brother, until they differ over something. And then the reality of the person comes. That's why to know a person, you really have to involve yourself in business with him or travel with him or some. Why? Because the different situations that you are in, sleeping, waking up, hungry, thirsty, angry, all of those occurrences happen with that person, so you get to know him in different aspects. But when you only see him when you're going out for fun, when you're going to eat, or when he's coming to get a drink, a cup of coffee or something with you, I mean, everything is fine. There's nothing there to test. He's going to be happy and he's going to show you everything. So you definitely would not be truthful with you. You come and you tell me, Sheikh, I love you from the bottom of my heart. You are and you are and you are. How do I know that you are truthful or not? There's no way to know it. So we can claim, and we always say it to each other, we claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come we don't come to jama'ah prayer? How come we don't move wholeheartedly to donate for the sake of Allah? How come we don't enjoin good and forbid evil the way we do? How come we don't bring our children to Islamic schools? There's so many thousands of questions that we can question ourselves, not someone else, to prove to ourselves that our love is not really genuine. It's not sincere. It's not the way we think that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for this life to be a test. And in order for you to succeed in that test, there has to be some obstacles. There has to be something that makes you deviate to see if you listen to him or you listen to Allah. Here is Prophet Adam alayhi salam in the Jannah. A real practical life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in real life to show him what do means and what do not do means. He said, enjoy it. Here is a real life situation. Food, drink, anything you desire is there. You do not need anything. No discharge. You eat sufficiently and enough for your body. No extra, no less. It's there. It's perfect life. But I'm commanding you one thing. Don't get near that tree. This is a command. You're not in need for it. You don't need it. Your life is perfect and complete without it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show him what is the meaning of a command. You fulfill the command. Don't get near that tree because you will be miserable. Fatashka. And here is your enemy, Mr. Iblis, la'natullahi alayhi. Do not listen to him. Whatever he swears, whatever he tells you, doesn't matter how he beautifies it, what kind of speech he gives you, what kind of promises he does to you, do not listen to him because he intends your destruction. Okay? Here is a real life scenario for Prophet Adam alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare him when he descends to earth, because this is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this life is a test. Oh Allah, give me time. You got it. Why? Because I need you to be part of the obstacles, or part of the enemies to Adam, to prove to Adam and his progeny, us, to prove that if they love you or love me. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says do, and Iblis says don't, and you don't, conclusion, you love Iblis more than Allah. You can't, you just simply and you can conclude that you don't really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that particular one. That's why you fell for Adam. If you listen to someone, you love him, because if you love someone, you listen to him. So this is what Adam alayhi salam was destined to be. He's going to be on earth. Inni, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa idh qala rabbuka lil malaika inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Fil ard, not in heaven, in ard. So even though he was in a real life situation like heaven, but he is not really in the real heaven. The heaven that we will talk about that part also, why I'm saying that. Because he is going to be down on earth, and this is the purpose of the creation. Tayyib. Iblis refused to bow. Why? Arrogance. What is arrogance? Arrogance in our religion is very despised behavior or belief or thought, action that is done in the heart, from the evil actions of the heart. Anytime you hear the word arrogance, the first thing comes to a Muslim's mind, Iblis was arrogant, rejected the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his arrogance. He thought he is better than Adam alayhi salam. So this is arrogance, one of the most despicable manners and sins that is buried inside the heart of the person, that makes the person lives in literal delusion. It's like you think of yourself, if the whole world should love you, and in reality the whole world hates you. So you are not living a reality. And at the same time, this major sin, it is a major sin, arrogance, it has its defects and problems. Let's look at some of those. One is you reject the truth. Someone comes to you with a proof, you reject it simply because you're arrogant. Example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to Pharaoh. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّ. Prophet Musa alayhi salam came with the signs. Look at the miracles that Prophet Musa alayhi salam gave to Pharaoh. He rejected it all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they rejected the signs while they believed in it in the bottom of their heart, out of oppression and arrogance. That's what arrogance does. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. A person who has a mustard seed of worth of arrogance in his heart will not enter the Jannah. Look, a second disaster. احتقار الناس وانتقاصهم. Looking down at people all the time. Because you feel that you are the one, everyone has to look up to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى وَأَخَاهُ هَارُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا عَالِينَ وَقَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ لِبَشَرَيْنِ مِثْلِنَا وَقَوْمُهُمَا لَنَا عَابِدُونَ. Look at the arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Prophet Adam alayhi salam and Prophet Musa alayhi salam and his brother Prophet Harun to Fir'aun. Look at their answer. Him and the elite of his people. They said, we're going to believe to two men and all of their people are servants to us. So they were extremely arrogant, extremely looking up at themselves and looking down at other people. Well, usually the recompense is from the same thing that you are doing. If you do good, the recompense is good, and if you do evil, the recompense is evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with people accordingly. An arrogant person is a person who sees himself bigger and better than everyone. So the punishment for that is to make him smaller and littler and more humiliated than anyone. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to the people the day of judgment. Arrogant people. يُحْشَرُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَ أَمْثَالَ الذَّرِّ فِي صُوَرِ الرِّجَالِ يَغْشَاهُمُ الذُّلُّ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى سِجْنٍ فِي جَهَنَّمَ يُسَمَّى بولس تَعْلُوهُمْ نَارُ الْأَنْيَارِ يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ عُصَارَةِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ طِينَةُ الْخَبَالِ. They will be gathered in jail, in the hellfire, those arrogant people, the sizes of ants. People will be walking on them. And they will be jailed in a place that called Bolus, in the hellfire, and they were totally humiliated. Why? Because they lived their life arrogant. It was a story about Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid, one of the Abbasid Khalifa or Caliphate. One time, you know, it was at his time, he was in charge of so many countries to the point that he used to see the cloud. He used to say, go and reign anywhere you want to reign. The taxes for the outcome of whatever the people are going to benefit from you, their taxes are going to come back to me. It rains, people grow and make food and sell and those things, and they pay taxes, and it comes back to him. Meaning, he has so much control over so much land. Look what happened to him when it comes, or when you talk, or when you think about arrogance. He was walking one time, a Jewish person met him. He was actually riding his horse. A Jewish man met him and he told him, اتق الله يا هارون. He said, fear Allah, O Harun. This is a big word in our days. But a normal word to address the leader, a huge leader, to tell him something, fear Allah. That's no, yani they accept it, they take it. But usually when you are in this position, who is that little man who comes and dares to tell you, ittaqillah? This is for arrogant people. But for a person who's not arrogant, look what he did. He jumped off the horse, prayed two rak'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bowing, because this is the ultimate humiliation of the person before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put your forehead on the ground. And then he asked him, what do you want? He told him and he gave him what he requested. Because he told him, ittaqillah. Ittaqillah, fear Allah, means you need to do something or you have not done something right. So he asked him what it is. He gave him what he wants. People asked him, they told him, oh Harun, he's just a person. He's not even a Muslim. Look what he said. He said, I am afraid to be classified in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ What's the result? فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah referring to arrogant. When you tell him ittaqillah, an arrogant person, his pride will overwhelm him to the point he will make sin rather than be obedient to Allah. His result is the hellfire, and what a horrible abode. So Harun alayhi salam was so humble to the point that he did what he did. So this ayah will not be applicable to him. This is to show you the punishment of arrogance and how righteous people are not arrogant. Also, Mutarrif, one time he met Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra, another person who has high status, met with a person who is righteous, Mutarrif. This person who has high status, Al-Muhallab, he was dressed up in elegant clothes. And he was walking in an arrogant way. Us, we probably mumble and say things in our heart and command, you know, and dispraise him or something. He told him, he went to him, Mutarrif, and he told him, مَا هَذِهِ الْمِشْيَ الَّتِي يَبْغَضُهَا اللَّهُ What kind of a walk you're walking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests, despises, hates? قَالَ لَهُ أَتَعْرِفُ مَنْ أَنَا Actually, it's nice of him to say that. He told him, do you know who I am? Nowadays, you just go to jail or they beat you up without even telling you, you could be mistaken. Sometimes if he would know that he is someone important, he would not do that. But he told him, أَتَعْرِفُ مَنْ أَنَا Look at his answer. قَالَ نَعَمْ أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَ مَذِرَ وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَ قَذِرَ وَأَنْتَ فِي مَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْعَذَرَ He told him, I don't need no titles, to give you no titles and no names. I don't really need to know who you are. I'll tell you where you came from and where you're going to end and what you are doing in between. He told him, your beginning was a despicable sperm. Your end is going to be a stinky corpse. And between your first creation and your death, you're walking while you are carrying your own discharge, your own stool. So what else you wanna be bragging about? What else you wanna walk like that for? What else you want me to know who you are? I know who you are. Now what do you expect the answer? Beat him up? No, he went and changed his walk. You know, submitting to the truth is hard. But for a righteous and a believer, it's not hard. Because what we seek is the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, among the horrible results of arrogance, سوء معاملة الناس. You deal with people in a horrible way. You're not fair when you deal with people. Why? Because harshness is not accepted in Islam. You want to be soft. You want to be kind with people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, to say good and to be good and to deal good with people. And arrogant people don't do that. Also, it makes the arrogant person takes the rights of other people wrongfully, makes him oppress them. Why? Because he thinks that he is so big, or so big status he has, to the point that no one can come and take his right from him. He's a big guy, he's a tough man. I can take your money, and who are you to come and ask me for it? You don't have that power. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu told us that one other horrible trait for those people who are arrogant, they belittle others. Umar ibn al-Khattab one time said to the son of Amr ibn al-As, he said, مَتَ اسْتَعْبَدْتُمُ النَّاسِ وَقَدْ وَلَدَتْهُمْ أُمَّهَاتُمْ أَحْرَارًا. There was a race that took place between the son of Amr ibn al-As, and somehow the other person lost the race out of injustice, simply because he was the son. Anyway, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, he came and he lashed the other person, and he said, your son would not behave this way if you are not in this position. You know how sometimes you could be in a shura, your kids are acting like, or an imam or anything, your kids are acting like they own the masjid, your wife is acting the same way, like she is the scholar of this universe, and just simply because this person has a position, everybody thinks that they're taking advantage of people because of that position. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wants to show people that it doesn't work this way. People take advantage of the position of other people, and it doesn't work that way, because this is arrogance and we are against it. Tayyib. Let's go back to Iblis. Iblis qala fabima aghwaytani la'aq'udanna lahum siratakal mustaqim. Now we're talking about arrogance, and this is the essence of the whole problem of Iblis, is arrogance. Now, Iblis, arrogance came back to him after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled him from his mercy. Instead of saying, oh Allah, forgive me, this is a horrible thing, he said no. He said, oh Allah, because you have caused me to go astray, I'm going to sit on the path, on the good path of every person of your servants. Anything that leads to your straight path, I'm going to block it. I'm going to sit on it, literally stop people from doing it. You can feel it. You can feel it sometimes when you want to do something good, you find a million things came to your mind. Many obstacles came to you, like you're not go. You want to read some Quran, and you look and you find your son saying, Baba, Mama, Tata, take this, jeep this, and you remember, oh, I have to call this one, or I have to do. A million things comes to your mind, to the point that you said the Quran you don't read. When you come to the prayer, if you struggle and you fight and you make it to the prayer, whether it is in the masjid or at home, you succeeded to do it on time. Once you say Allahu Akbar, Ya Halawa. Now you'll be going, how many rak'ah? Did I make sujood? Did I read al-Fatiha? Did I? And you have questions left and right. We're talking about that. Shaitan does the following. When you want to pray, he will remind you of certain things in this dunya that you forgot before. Actually, it did happen to a person one time. He stood in the salah and he started thinking about his receipt that he went shopping. And something came to his mind that there was miscalculation there. They overcharged him. In the salah, he took the receipt, looked at it, and he was mischarged, sure. Type, look at here. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, a man came to him, complaining. قال ضاعت مني نقودي, my money, I lost it. دفنتها في مكان من الأرض ونزل السيل فأخفى مكان النقود وأزال الحجر الذي وضعته علامة على المكان. He buried his money and he put a rock to show where the money is as a mark so he can remember where he buried it. Flood came, washed the rock. He doesn't remember where it's at. He knows the desert, everything looks the same. So he came to Imam Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa told him, طيب, what's next? What do you want me to do about it? Yani, you can come and tell me halal and haram and I can tell you what it is, but he told him, well, you're an imam. You got to solve that problem. Now, with something like that, the only one that we can resort to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to get him off of his back. So he said, go tonight, after Isha, when you go home, stand up in prayer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Fajr, praying for him and asking him to lead you for that place, and come tomorrow, let me know what happened. Next day he came, excited, happy, smiling, laughing, Imam, Imam, ran in there, I found my money. I said, wow, how did you find it? What happened? He said, I did exactly what you did. Abu Hanifa was surprised, mashallah, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled it for him so quick. Tell me what happened. He said, I did what you did. I went, as soon as I said, Allahu Akbar, something came to me and I remembered where the place and the measurement and the distance and everything that I forgot before, it came to my mind. I went and I got it. Imam Abu Hanifa laughed, rahimahullah, and he said, I wallahi knew that the shaitan will do everything to not make him succeed in standing in prayer before Allah. So the shaitan guided him to find the money so he would not pray Qiyam al-Layl. Shaitan understand the reward of Qiyam al-Layl is a lot more than the money. So he helped him with that. No big deal. And how many of us really, actually, yani, we joke sometimes. Yani, one brother said that he was trying to remember something, and I said, well, we're going to pray Isha, brother. You just think about it in the prayer, you'll find it. A lot of us start to think about those things and they get the answer during the prayer. It is because of the shaitan. His promise is to sit on the straight path and make you, for things that do, it will be don't, and for things that don't, it will be do. This is a special thing that the shaitan does, and he succeeds in that because of his promise. Listen to this ayah. Shaitan also said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shaitan said, I'm going to sit on the path that leads to you and block it with everything I can. And then he said, I'm going to attack them from their right, from their left, in the front of them, from behind them. Four directions. How many directions do we have? Six. We have up and down. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm going to attack him from under them and from above them. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إليه يصعد العمل طيب, الكلمة الطيب, والعمل الصالح يرفع. All your good deeds ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a path for every human being that his deeds ascend from. And by the way, to confirm that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Dukhan, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ. Neither the skies nor earth cried on them when he destroyed the people of Fir'aun. The sky did not cry on them and the earth did not cry. طيب, what's good about the sky? Righteous deed ascend to the sky, and every person have a path for righteous deed. Earth is the place of your sujood. That's where your righteous deed is when you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of Fir'aun, they were doing none of the above. So why would the sky miss them or the earth miss them? That is number one. Number two, any place where there's an obedience to Allah, there is what there? Angels. In the masjid, angels. Circle of knowledge, angel. Prayer, angel. Call adhan, angels. Anywhere you have good deeds, angels are there. So the place where your good deeds ascend, angels. Wherever there are angels, how many shaitan you have there? None. Why your house, if it has pictures or a dog, angels of mercy will not enter it. So who is there? If the angels are not there, shayateen are there. If the shayateen are there, angels are not there. If the angels there, shayateen are not there. So you have your house full of pictures, or you have a dog, and you come and complain to the sheikh, I have a problem, and I have this, and I have that, and I think I'm possessed, and I need ruqya, and I need that. Well, brother, you're living with your brothers there. I mean, you got everything in the house is shaitan. Not only you're missing the one who makes dua for you, who protects you, but you also have an enemy. And it's like, if I have someone who defends me and I have an enemy, at least I have a little bit there. But when you have a total enemy, and we said he sees you and you don't, how can you win against someone you don't see him? It's hard. You can't. So that's why we need our homes to be a place for the angels, because wherever there is an angel, shayateen are not there. You know, we have a saying in Arabic, إِذَا حَضْرَةِ الْمَلَائِكَ فَرَّةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. You know, if you see a righteous person walking in, bad people usually disperse. So we say the saying in Arabic, when the angels come, shayateen disperse. يعني a good man came, there is no place for bad people here, they're not going to enjoy the conversation, and they're fearing or afraid, so they leave. But one problem here, in this ayah, he said the shaitan, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I'm going to attack them from those four directions, and he added something, and you're not going to find many of them, or you will find many of them ungrateful. Why? Does shaitan know the unseen? Does he know the future? Allah said in the Quran, most people are ungrateful. And the shaitan is saying the same thing. So does he predict the future? Did he see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see? Or what is the deal? Shaitan, in Surah Saba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ. ظَنَّهُ, it was just a suspicion that the shaitan has, most of those people are going to listen to him, and it worked. His suspicion came true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in many ayat, most people are ungrateful. And he always reminds us with hearing, seeing, and the heart. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. So Iblis had that suspicion, and he was right in that suspicion. It's not because he predicted the future or any of those things. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the shaitan, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. You are cursed and you are chased out of the Jannah that Adam alayhi salam was in it. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for every person in the Jannah a place, and for every person in the hellfire a place. So every human being, every jinn has a spot in Jannah and a spot in the hellfire. If he makes it to Jannah, he's got it. And if he makes it, yeah, a reservation. And if you don't, a person doesn't make it, he has it. The day of judgment, if that person enters the Jannah, that means his place for the hellfire is vacant. That is a spot the people of the Jannah will inherit it. وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ وَتِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا أو وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. So you inherit that place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a spot so the Jannah will be enough for everyone and the hellfire will be enough for everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this is the shaitan and he is your enemy. I mean, told Prophet Adam alayhi salam when he was in the Jannah, this is the shaitan, he is your enemy, and he is going to lie to you, and he is going to promise you, and he is going to do everything so he will make you deviate and disobey me. So don't listen to him. وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Live here, enjoy yourself, don't get near that tree. Let's reflect on near that tree. How come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, do not eat from that tree? He said, do not get near the tree. Take another ayah. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Do not get near fornication or committing adultery. He didn't say, do not commit adultery or commit fornication. Because, my friends, here is a tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want him to eat from it. If he says do not eat from it, that means he can sit under it. He can look at it. He can climb it. He can touch the fruits of it. He'll be tantalized with it. Wow, look at that, mashallah. Smells good. I wonder how it tastes. Man, look at that thing. And you'll be sitting and it's like, by the way, if you want to do something to your children, you don't want them to touch it, tell them to touch it. If you have something in a closet, and you want them to play in the closet, tell them do not get in that closet. That's the only closet they want to play in. So, reverse psychology. And the human being is like that. Look at us. If you come and you tell a person something is haram, he tells you, oh, Sheikh, everything to you is haram. So let's sit and count what is haram and how much haram. In the Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, eat anything you want, perfect life, but don't touch that tree. You don't need it. Don't get near it. In this dunya, we can count the haram things and everything else is halal. And yet people think that everything is haram. Because do not get near it, because if he gets near it, he will be tempted. Let's make analogy to our life today. Those people who tells you there's nothing wrong with sitting together with women, there's nothing wrong with, as long as she's wearing the hijab, there's nothing wrong with mixing, you guys are old fashioned, this is not part of this and this is part of that. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said do not get near the zina? How can you get tempted if the women are not right in the front of you? If you're not seeing them and looking at them and smelling their perfume and talking to them and all, what is that all going to lead to? Zina. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't get anywhere near it. Simple hijab is not going to stop zina by itself. If you have hijab and you sit with a woman, it's not going to stop it. Yes, it has little of that beauty covered, but the rest of it is still there. But when you are far a distance and you're not together, this will be fulfilled. And by the way, my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of the major sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, do not do it. He said, don't get near it. فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Stay away from idols, idol worshippers, and saying the false testimony or perjury. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't worship the idols, then you can go there and sit with the people who are worshiping idols and look at them and enjoy how they're doing and everything. And God knows, with the shaitan sitting there on your shoulders, God knows what you're going to end up doing. It. Don't get near it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَلَا تَشْرَبُوهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. Don't drink it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, do not drink wine. He said, it is an act of the shaitan. Stay away from it. That is why it's haram to sit on a table with people who are drinking alcohol. What's haram from us is to not to drink it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't get near it. Don't work in the company. Don't sit with the people who drink in it. Don't carry it. Don't sell it. Because it will all lead you gradually to do it. All the major sins, brothers, like that. And this is something to reflect on when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Adam, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Don't get near that tree, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to keep the temptation far away from them. With that, picture this, with all of this, shaitan succeeded to lead them to it and eat from it. Imagine if they were allowed to get near it. Reflect on the zina and such. Even with women staying away, completely covered, without mixing, without touching, still it will happen. Fornication and adultery will take place because of the shaitan. So what would happen if all of this also facilitated? Naturally, it's going to be more disastrous and more horrible. Tayyib. Now let me just conclude here. Adam, alayhi salam, was not in the Jannah that we all know. Because people would think, and that is what the Orientalists talk about Islam when they talk about the story of Adam alayhi salam and Iblis. They say, how can the shaitan enter the heaven that he was expelled from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whisper to Adam and Eve? And this Jannah is for obedient people. How can he enter it? That's one question. If the shaitan was expelled from that and he was destined to be in the hellfire, how did he enter the permanent heaven? And another one, if Adam and Hawa alayhi salam enter there, how did they exit from it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when a person enters the Jannah, he will not come out from it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. They will not ask anything or any removal from there, and no one will make them out. Well, the answer to that it is not really the Jannah. I mean, I know if you read about that, you'll find too many opinions, but I'm convinced it is not the real heaven that we will get as a reward for our deeds the Day of Judgment. Number one, the Day of Judgment did not take place. Number two, this Jannah is in the afterlife and it is the reward. So what makes sense is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Adam in a Jannah that has all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated in it, everything in it, all food and drinks and everything in it, and he said, do not eat from that tree. Is it hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that? Naturally not. Just like the Day of Judgment, people who did not hear the messenger, so he will not put them in the hellfire unrightfully, he will create them in an environment, or he will create an environment for them as if they are in this dunya, and he will send them a messenger to see how they respond to him. That is one of the saying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another one, he will command them to enter the hellfire. If they enter, then they will be obedient. If they're not, they will not. And of course, when they enter, it's not the real hellfire, it will be the Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates situations, and one of those situations is a Jannah. Because in Arabic, when you say Jannah, it doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, yeah, when we say Jannah, the first thing that comes to our mind is the everlasting Jannah. But Jannah has so many different meanings. Jannah means a garden that has lots of trees, interlacing trees, that if you are inside that Jannah, people outside will not see you because too much branches and too many trees are there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us many examples in Surah Al-Kahf, وَجَعَلْنَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنَ, two gardens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Saba, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَأٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ جَنَّتَيْنَ. So the word Jannah does not necessarily mean the everlasting Jannah. طيب, with that, we will stop inshallah, and we will talk a little bit about that Jannah and about the disobedience, and we'll move on inshallah to tell you more about this mortal or immortal enemy. Well, if you're talking about Iblis, immortal, if you're talking about Shaitan, the little ninjas of the Iblis, then they are mortal because they die and they have children like the human being. Inshallah, with that we will stop, conclude lecture number 3. And of course, if you want to hear that or see that, you can go to imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com or to sunnahfollowers.net. You can watch that live. And as you can see, we have more of those beautiful CDs or DVDs. That is here one, the two evils of the heart, which is lowering your gaze, which is part of what? Command, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا, do not get near zina. Lowering your gaze is part of that. And the second one is envy. And we have another DVD, The Rights in Islam, $20. Where does the money go? Sunnah followers, to pay for the room for the people who are watching. We have, alhamdulillah, over 100 people watching those lectures and benefiting from them all over the world. You will be participating in benefiting yourself, and at the same time you can take it as a gift for your friends, sadaqah jariyah, because this is knowledge that you leave behind. You're helping someone, it will you will continue to get rewards for that. We'll take some questions inshallah if you have. خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا